Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 417. And tonight, we're doing a little bit of a departure. We don't have a Night Vale episode because they're on hiatus. We don't have a Lore Olympus. Eventually, I'm going to stop saying we don't have Lore Olympus.
I know.
Really sink in. I know. So this was actually Catherine's suggestion. What's a movie that we have been talking about watching for some time? And by some time, I don't mean like within the past couple years.
Yeah, because you know what? There's an awful lot of good movies out there we have been talking about seeing, like Furiosa and The Fall Guy, I think, were a couple of them. I mean, I haven't seen Barbie yet, which I think you have.
Yes, I have. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was very fun. You also haven't seen Wakanda Forever.
I have not. I still need to see that. Neither of us have seen Logan, which is like, yeah. I mean, before the Deadpool Wolverine movie that's coming out, it was pretty much considered the final Wolverine movie. And a lot of people told me I need to see that. And also, I'm really curious about the Batman, the Robert Pattinson version.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have said good things about that. But you know what? We didn't watch any of those things.
Nope. We watched a movie that's 10 freaking years old.
John Wick. And I got to tell you, I should not have liked this movie as much as I did.
I couldn't believe it. I was prepared to kind of hate it because it is just, I mean, they've done all the sequels and it's that particular flavor of action adventure. Oh my goodness, it's really fun.
It's so fun. And it was, I mean, okay, now, and I had to tell Elizabeth that the dog dies at like 14 minutes in, which you have to be prepared for that. But I was not prepared for how well they made this the focus of his revenge for the rest of the movie. I mean, that, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the movie Midsommar in that they established the hell out of everything in 15 minutes. And you're just like, you're in for the rest of the movie. You are absolutely down with him going out and killing as many people as possible because they killed his dog.
Yes. So we'll say right now, all the spoiler warnings, we have to spoil other things. Basically, this episode is for people who never saw John Wick and who had decided that they never wanted to see John Wick, but they were kind of wondering what they were missing. And we're going to tell you what you were missing, which is a really fun movie. And the whole reason why I didn't want to see it at first was because I'd heard they kill a dog. I was like, oh, I don't think I can do that. But it's done very fast and you don't see a lot. And it is very sad. But it's not just that they killed his dog. The dog was a posthumous present from his dead wife who had just died.
I mean, that surprised me because when someone was talking about it afterwards, they talked about like days after the funeral of his wife, you go out and do this. So it's just, I mean, you don't really even see his wife at all. You see him looking at an old video of her on his phone and the letter that she sends telling him, if you're reading this, then I'm gone, but you need something else to love other than just your car. And it's a puppy and it's a really adorable puppy. Obviously, you don't really see him smile all that much, but you can tell that this is helpful, that he's got a living thing that obviously adores him, and he, you know, takes it out and gets him kibble and all that stuff. And then a couple of Russian gangsters see his beautiful car at a gas station, and they follow him home and they steal the car. And in the course of that, they kick the dog and the dog dies. And I was just like, oh. And what I loved about this was that the guys who did this go to a chop shop, but they, you know, they're thinking they're going to keep the car because it's a cool car. And they talk to the guy who's John, is it Leguizamo, I think is how you pronounce it?
Leguizamo?
Yeah. He was in the menu. Yes. And he punches out the guy. And it turns out, you know, the lead douchebag who killed the dog is the son of a Russian mobster. So he's basically like a prince in the mafia. And John Leguizamo's character is like, you need to get out of here right now. And then the Russian mob boss calls him and says, I understand that you punched my son and I want to know why. And John Leguizamo tells him they stole John Wick's car and killed his dog. And see the Russian mobster, he's like standing there with the phone to his ear and he says, oh. And then he hangs up. And I'm like, they nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Not only do you understand that John Wick is going to do anything to get revenge, but everybody else is terrified of him.
Oh, man. And there is such a great scene where, of course, the bad guys decide they're going to try and take out John Wick. So they surround the house. And John Wick just I've heard before that the choreography in these movies was pretty stunning, but that is just the half of it. I mean, it is so intense, even for somebody who doesn't kind of like seek out that type of action adventure movie and everything. It's so impressive. But what I really liked is after he defeats all these guys, because of course he does, he gets on the phone and he says, I need to make a dinner reservation for 12. And a fixer shows up. I have no idea why I think scenes with fixers are so fun. It's just people that you call and they will clean all of it up for the right amount of money. And they are really, really super good at their job.
Yes. And one thing in particular I liked in that whole huge gunfight was him and one of the attackers end up on opposite sides of the wall. And they're just like moving towards the camera. And the bad guy starts shooting through the wall. But John Wick ducks down just at the right moment and fires up at an angle and gets the guy. And I was like, yes. I have to rewind and watch that again.
It's just so many. I lost track of all the cool moments. One thing that I really liked, of course, he ends up seeking out the douchebag kid who is at this club, I guess, that has a pool. And that's another thing that I love. It's like the playgrounds of the very rich and really dangerous. Mm-hmm. So there's like we see a scene with a hotel, which is obviously where assassins hang out, and then this club and everything. And at one point, John Wick, of course, they're a gunfight and everything. And if you watch the scene, the gunshots are very subtly timed with the music that's going on.
Yes.
So it's almost like a music video. And it's so impressive. Like John Wick just Terminatoring his way across the dance floor. I'm like, I love all of this.
And the music was good too. I liked all of the musical choices for this movie. And you're right about places that cater just not just to the really wealthy, but to the criminal wealthy.
Yeah.
And I thought the hotel where he stays at, because obviously his house has kind of gotten trashed by the attackers. But it reminded me of that movie, The Hotel Artemis. That's just a hotel.
The same thing.
Yeah, I don't know why I like that so much. That it's like everybody there understands that all of these people are very dangerous and they're going to leave each other alone unless, as what happens, the Russian mob boss doubles the amount of money that he's going to pay somebody to kill John Wick if they have to break the rules of the hotel to do it.
Now, in all of this, of course, the boss had actually approached Willem Dafoe's character, and Willem had talked to John Wick at the funeral briefly, but it was kind of seemed a little standoffish. I guess Willem was wondering if he was going to come back to the life, and John was like, no. And then the mob boss talks to Willem Dafoe and offers him the money, and you see Willem go get his big old sniper rifle and everything. So John Wick's in his room. Now, there is a scene John Wick is getting patched up by the doctor at the hotel. That's another thing I love. I love like an underworld doctor who's really good at his job.
Yes,
and it's just like seen everything.
He's so dead pan about all of it.
Oh, yeah. Completely. So you see John Wick kind of lying down the bed. Willem Dafoe is on the other roof and is pointing the sniper at him. But then Willem Dafoe sees someone coming into the room, and Willem Dafoe shoots the pillow next to John Wick's head and totally lets him know that somebody is trying to kill him. And I'm like, oh, yay, go!
And then knockdown, drag-out fight between him and a woman who's obviously decided it's worth it to break the hotel's rules to go after him. But he defeats her. He knocks her into the hallway. And then somebody else like comes up behind him and says, I know you, don't I? And he's like, probably. And he turns around and it's somebody that he knows. And the guy's just like, problem? Like, oh, not really. And the person says, I'll leave you to it. Which is funny because when he had that shootout at his house, the police showed up. But the police officer was like, John Wick opens the door and looks at him and says, noise complaint, police officer. Noise complaint. And then he tells and he wants to know, are you working again? Like, no, I'm just cleaning something up. Well, I'll leave you to it. Good night, John. Good night, Jimmy. And just both of them.
Nobody's going
to
mess with him.
Nobody's asking questions that other people would ask. Like, why are there 12 dead people in your house?
Nope, nope, nope. Because he even does. He looks around John Wick's shoulder and sees the bodies lying on the ground. And he basically just like takes off his police hat and is just like, well, I'll leave you to it. You know, ultimate respect right there. Which is another thing, when John Wick is trying to get information for where to find the douchebag kid, he actually goes into like one of the main, I guess, bars of the hotel. And who is the owner of the hotel that he comes to try and get answers from? But it's Ian McShane, who played Al Swearengen in Deadwood. And I was like, oh, I had no idea he was in these movies.
And I love every time he shows up in a movie, it's great. I mean, there's like,
it's great.
There's a terrible old Mystery Science Theater or Riff Track movie that is like very, very, very young Ian McShane. I'm like, ooh, I like every bit of this. It's always worth it to see him in a film.
Oh, yes. But yeah, so this movie, the body count is pretty high. There are certain people who get killed that I was like, oh, I thought that they were going to make it, and then they don't. So you never know entirely who's going to make it all the way through. But it's just, it's the whole movie is him tracking down people, whether it's in his car or on foot, you know, in all types of sceneries and everything. And he's just such a complete and total badass. However, there is at one moment someone says something like, "They know you're coming." And Keanu Reeves responds and says, "Of course, but it won't matter." And I was like, Keanu Reeves is a really good person, and I think following choreography and fight scenes, he's pretty amazing. I'm still pretty on the fence about his acting ability.
No, and I mentioned to Nathan that I was going to be watching this movie, and he said, "Okay, have fun," because Nathan hasn't even seen the first Matrix movie. That's how little he cares for Keanu Reeves acting. But he doesn't have to do a whole lot of that in here. I mean, he's just like, he's brooding, or he's like being in badass attacker mode, and other than like a few scenes where he cries when he remembers his wife or something, that's kind of it. But it's just like, if you want him to scream in rage at somebody, he may be able to pull it off. I mean, there was that scene, he gets captured by the Russian mob boss, and I have a note here. Oh God, why would you take Wick prisoner? Shoot him in the head, you idiots. Oh, I guess it's your loss. Because of course,
exactly.
Of course he manages to get out. And the Russian mob boss has this whole soliloquy about all the stuff that they did, because John Wick used to work for him, used to do a whole lot of really good work for him. And he tells him that, you know, you can't get away from this life. Whatever you do, something, the universe is always going to make sure you suffer for it, which is why the universe killed your wife so that it could sic you on me. And that's like the turnaround on that. But John Wick told him, basically, you know, starts ranting about what that dog had meant to him, that it was his wife's last gift. And he says something like, he just starts yelling and says, "You can give me your son or you can die screaming next to him." I thought, that's a badass line right there.
It was really good. Yeah, that was very, very fun. And that was another thing I was surprised. Spoilers, he does actually kill the kid. And I was thinking that it was going to be one of those things where he gets the kid at his mercy and points the gun at him and then realizes that he can't go through with it. No, totally shoots him in the face. There's just absolutely no pause whatsoever.
No, no. And the kid is even like screaming as he's about to shoot him. It was just a fucking bam. That's it.
Bam. Yep.
Oh,
totally done.
I really liked how they did the subtitles in this movie because, of course, so many of them are speaking in Russian that you'll have to have the translation. But how would you describe how they did that? It was just like the words appearing like not just down at the bottom of the screen, but sort of like typing in next to the person who's talking and sort of moving all around the screen.
Yeah, it's not like the typical closed captioning type of thing. It's definitely a graphic designed captions going on and different words being emphasized in different colors. And I don't know, I thought it was a little distracting at the beginning of the movie, but you get used to it very fast and it is fun. What is also fun is the guy who's playing the main henchman to the big bad guy is the same guy who plays Mayhem on those insurance commercials. And he does a great job.
He does. And I always liked how tired he would get when the Russian mob boss would say something in Russian and I would sigh, "English, please." Just not even make any bones about the facts. Like, stop talking in words that I don't understand.
Yeah, no, but he had a fun arc going on there. But just, I mean, it's really, it's hard to not like talk around and around in circles. It was fun. And I really feel like as much as I sometimes have trouble concentrating on movies and I always want to watch them for a while and then pause and go do something else, I think after like the first 45 minutes to an hour in this movie, you're not going to want to go and do anything else. You're going to be focused on this movie.
And I have read some reviews about the movie and they are, I mean, okay, so the director, Chad Stahelski, former stuntman for Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, and apparently he got his big break by being the stuntman slash stand-in for Brandon Lee in The Crow after Brandon Lee was killed on set, which that's pretty badass to continue on in a role that killed somebody when you think about it. Yeah,
seriously.
But the reviews, people have been talking about the fact that there's not a whole lot of like weird, nauseating shaky cam or like chopping up things into split seconds so it's really hard to see what's going on. The fight scenes, you can tell what's happening. It's all choreographed extremely well. And the fact that you have hand-to-hand combat basically but with guns is makes like just ramps everything up in that, and it makes it really interesting to watch. And I think the movie's going to be good for a rewatch too. I mean, even knowing how it all turns out, just to sit there and bask in all of that just violence. I mean, the lead actor in this movie is violence.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember when you told me that. I was like, oh, I'm ready. So, yeah, just, oh, so, so fun. I'm going to check something real fast because, of course, I think, what do we have, 4 of these movies now? Hang on. Okay, so I'm going to look up each of the movies in IMDb and see what the ratings are, which is not like the end-all be-all of ratings of movies, but I think we can agree that if it's over 7, it's usually very, very fun, and anything over 6.5 is at least not embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So the first one, of course, got a 7.4.
Uh-huh.
I think that's fair. Oh, wow. The second chapter, number 2, got 7.4 again.
Wow.
Oh, crap. John Wick chapter 3, Parabellum, 7.4.
Is it a really loyal fan base? I mean, it's lovely to see something that's consistently that highly rated.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. John Wick Chapter 4, 7.7.
The best rated one is the fourth one. Okay, I've never seen that happen.
No, definitely not. So I'm going to watch the next one.
Of course.
The very definition of, I mean, I wouldn't even call it a popcorn movie, because a lot of times a popcorn movie is not necessarily all that good. This one was really good. I did think that the very final scene was a little silly, you know, maybe just a little like spoilers, you know, getting the dog from the vet and everything. And I was just like, oh, I guess at that point I was, I don't know, looking for something more sophisticated. I don't know why the hell I would think that, but you know, it was not a bad ending by any means, but I got done and I was like, okay, fine. However, you didn't technically, I mean, the bad guy kind of died, you know, the big bad mob boss and everything kind of died, but I mean, it's not like he got beheaded or chopped into pieces or exploded and everything. So I'm like, I don't know. He could still be alive in, you know, action movie world. So I don't know.
He could be. You never know. Now here's something. Okay. So you've got a storyline where you've got someone, you know, hitman works for a big mob boss. And then the mob boss's son kills somebody very important to the hitman, so the hitman has to go out on revenge, and at one point even breaking into banks to destroy his cash, to like damage his organization's cash flow. What movie does that remind you of?
Oh, it sounds so familiar. I mean, it's not Taken, obviously, but it is like, I mean, it is a little bit, because the people who stole his daughter had no idea that they were stealing the daughter of somebody that they absolutely did not want to fuck with, but, you know, kind of similar. I don't know. What are you thinking of?
Road to Perdition. It has got to be at least an homage to that storyline, because that's just almost identical to what really happens.
Wow. Because I have never seen that movie, so I guess I probably should.
Well, it's kind of a downer, I think, because, of course, it's Tom Hanks, and the mob boss's son sees his youngest, Tom Hanks's youngest son, witness one of their crimes. And he always wanted to be the son that mob boss, you know, really wanted, because, of course, Tom Hanks is closer to him than he is. So he kills the son. And because Tom Hanks's wife sees it happening, he kills her, too. So Tom Hanks has to go with his older son on a adventure, and it's all set during the Great Depression, so it's a period piece and whatever. But yeah, it's kind of a downer. But it is. I was surprised when I saw that how many parallels were going on. Now, granted, the relationship between everybody is totally different, but still.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, I'm so glad you suggested we do this, because it's like part of the cultural zeitgeist at this point, you know, talking about John Wick and action movies. And I'm not going to say like it changed the genre, but it sure established itself pretty firmly as like a major part of the genre. And also, you know, when people talk about tragic things and doing the wrong thing, I mean, they talk about John Wick's dog. I mean, my goodness, but it's just, it's fun. It's really, really
fun. It is fun. It was so enjoyable to watch. So yeah, looking forward to the next ones.
Me too. So, only other thing that I wanted to talk about, I'm actually caught up with the current season of Mayor of Kingstown.
Mm-hmm.
And while I will say again, I don't think it reaches the high water mark that the first season did. And there is this, a slightly different flavor to the story, I feel. However, I'm definitely enjoying the third season more than I enjoyed the second.
Okay.
So, that's good.
Good. Yes. Because the second one is on my list to watch.
Yes.
Only other thing I've been trying to catch up on is I finally read the first 2 issues of the comic book series you loaned me, The Sacrificers.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's really interesting. I mean,
it's odd.
The way things got switched around in the very beginning, like the whole beginning scene is this family of pigeon people, and the father is leading Grace at the dinner table, and then they spot a young child pigeon person. out the window, which infuriates the father, and he goes and beats the tar out of him and tells him he's selfish that, you know, that you made your mother see you on today of all days. And then right. that night, one of the other pigeon children sneaks out of bed and goes into the barn where the pigeon boy is there and wakes him up and shows that she's smuggled some food, and she just like hugs him and says, "Thank you." And I'm like, oh, I had the completely wrong idea about everything that was going on. And they keep doing that.
Yep. Every time they turn around, they do it. And the story has veered off in other directions a couple times. I don't know. And the art, at first glance, I almost wouldn't think that I would like the art. But the more I look at it, the more I really enjoy it.
Yeah, some of it is vibrant, especially the use of colors and the fact that you have these royal characters that it looks like their hair is made of fire. So it's really impressive.
Yeah. It's a lot of world building that went on in this too. So that keeps on going. I think we're up to the 8th issue, I think. So very enjoyable.
Yeah, I did like the, because of course you've got all these non-human, humanoid looking characters. And a few of them that showed up at one point was these like royalty, but they look like they're killer whales, only they have like round human shaped heads. I love the design of those. I mean, it's just really beautiful.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, they always, in a lot of books, they have the sort of bonus pages where they kind of show how they did character designs for people and everything. So many different characters. I mean, all different types of people and shapes. And I'm just, that must have taken forever. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Hugh just got to go to Florida SuperCon at Miami Beach Convention Center this past week, and he sent back a ton of photos. So if you were in cosplay, there's a good chance we got your photo, but he also did a lot of the meet and greets, including with the entire cast of Critical Role. So it's a very, very fun photo gallery. And Comic-Con is coming up in about like a week and a half.
Yes.
So we have officially started all of the announcements from all the different comic book companies. So keep an eye out for that, because all of the big companies will put out a schedule of the signings and the exclusives and the events and the panels. And so all of that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So any plans for next week's episode? Since I don't think we have Night Vale yet.
Still don't have Night Vale yet. So we're going to have to do something. Maybe I will sit down and watch some episodes of season 2 of Mayor of Kingstown, and we can talk about that.
Uh-huh. We can always do that. That'll be fun. Of course, there's a bunch of other movies that we really should catch up at some point. I don't know. Maybe we'll watch Logan at some point. We keep talking about it.
I know, right?
But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
Sorry, where was I going with that?
Oh, yeah,
we were
that's
talking
right.
Something about acting ability.
Yeah.